Blog Talk Radio.
That's right.
You are now listening to Mr. Politics.
That's right.
Everybody, this is Mystic Politics. My name is Nick Spiro, and I've got Everett Tucker. Today is June 4th, 2009.
Hello, hello, Nick. How's everything going today?
Everything's going great. Tonight should be a good show. How about it?
Yeah, I think so. And tonight we have on Orwell's Ghost, a.k.a. I believe it's Eric Orwell. Is that correct, Eric?
I go by Eric Orwell. Eric B. Orwell, yes.
Okay, okay. And tonight we have Eric on because he had called in on the previous show with Eric John Phelps, which was massively, massively messed with by Blog Talk Radio. We're looking to switch networks right now, but temporarily we're here. And Eric had called in with a lot of good information on the CMP, JBS, and the Jesuits. So Nick knows Eric a little bit, and he knows that he knew a lot about Alex Jones, so we decided to have him on because he was seemed like a great resource.
Yeah, actually, I interviewed Eric OG back last year. We were discussing a lot about the Jesuit Order, and Eric does have a lot of knowledge regarding the history of the Jesuit Order, the Knights of Malta, the Vatican itself, and how Alex Jones kind of ties into that whole mess of things. And just with the guests alone that Alex Jones has leads to suspicion. So, Eric, can you kind of lead into that?
Sure. Well, you brought up the guests. You have, first and foremost, Charlie Sheen, when he had him come out and say that the towers looked funny coming down. And when he introduces Alex Jones at the Truth Convention that they had there in L.A., he introduces him as his brother-in-arms, which is a Jesuit term.
Oh, yeah.
and of course, if you read Eric Phelps' book, which I haven't read it all the way, but his father, Martin Sheen, would go on Jesuit retreats. And his father actually also has been going to Cardinal Roger Mahoney's church for probably about 20 years now. Goes on tour with them and brings in a big audience with his star power so they can hear Roger Mahoney's sermons.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely seems like a lot of these, a lot of the secret societies or a lot of the societies or little think tanks or groups, are. It's really genealogical. And is there any proof is there any evidence of Charlie Sheen himself going on those things, or is it just merely a father son type deal?
It's a father son type deal, and if you look at their body of work, how many pieces they do on JFK and the Kennedy family, it's really quite astonishing. Both of them, and even Emilio Estevez recently did that movie about RFK.
Emilio!
I haven't seen him in a bit.
Yeah, but then you have Danny Bonaducci.
Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah. Now, yeah, Danny Bonaducci, he also, his family goes to Roger Mahoney's church as well. And, of course, Danny Bonaducci has his run-in with John Connor, and John Connor now calls him his brother in Christ. But Danny Bonaducci's brother, John Bonaducci, has the title of musical coordinator for Roger Mahoney and his church. And then his wife, Eileen Carlucci Bonaducci, she is the executive coordinator for Mahoney.
Carlucci Bonaducci.
I actually found SEC records that you could find online if you just type in the name Eileen Bonaducci Carlucci. One of the links you'll find actually online SEC information. She has trust funds set up in a variation of four names, her maiden, her middle, and her married name. And it's like hundreds of millions of worth in shares. And Mahoney was at the center of a child abuse, a huge child abuse scandal there in California. And I kind of figure that it's probably got to be coming from the Vatican to pay them.
Is that
off.
The associated content? Or no, that's the wrong one. I was trying to Google Eileen Bonaducci real quick.
There's an Edgar Online link you should see.
Now, Eric Phelps was getting really excited about this information. What was it? I forgot that he got so excited about when you mentioned the Carlucci's connection.
Yeah, see, when John Connor ran in with Danny Bonaducci, Alex Jones was away from a show, and one of his fans had posted in a MySpace group that I post in, asking where he was. You know, they were worried about him, like, was he taken out or whatever. But he had a guest host, Bob Dacey, on. So and then this happens with John Connor and this meeting with Danny Bonaducci, and I kind of smelled something was up from the get-go.
So then I
started thinking about it, and I remembered that somebody posted that he wasn't in town. So I contacted Maria Heller, who was really good friends with Jack Blood, and Jack Blood was with GCN at the time. Mm-hmm. And I had Maria Heller ask Jack Blood where Alex Jones was, and turns out, you know, of course, he was in L.A. when this video was taken. And then he proceeds to have John Connor on the following Monday on his show, even though he says he doesn't even know who Danny Bonaducci is. And then I think it was like 2 weeks later, John Connor has his own show on GCN.
That's very interesting. Now, where does you mentioned the Sheens real quick. Now, does Rosie O'Donnell fall into that category too? I know she has a Catholic last name. Is there anything linking?
Yeah, she does come from a Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that, as well as the William Rodriguez, or he's Roman Catholic as well. So,
well, does that necessarily make someone suspect because they're Roman Catholic, or could they just be following?
No, it doesn't. But after you see all of the Catholic influence, it just has to be noted, and then.
I thought it was interesting that she was chosen to speak out about, you know, because I don't think anything happens by coincidence. I think, you know, coincidences are a non-sequitorial impossibility. I just do not believe that just Rosie O'Donnell randomly just started becoming a mouthpiece.
Well, there's other things with Rosie O'Donnell as well. She promised to have on the 9/11 responders, and then that day that she was supposed to have them on, she had that huge stage fight with that Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Mm-hmm.
Was it on The View?
Yeah,
yes.
I saw that.
And then you have that. You see, and then you had John Connor being promoted on The View when they had a guest host. See, they bring a guest host to come on so it doesn't look like they're directly plugging it.
Yeah.
But they have this guest host. I can't remember her name, but she plugs the whole John Connor, Danny Bonaducci video. And then you have ABC, you know, owning the satellites that GCN operates on.
One of the things that you had mentioned last week, which I think really tickled a lot of us, was the Clear Channel, Sean Hannity, Alex Jones connection in regards to a clickover link in Clear Channel. I wonder if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, if you go to the Hannity.com, his Sean Hannity's own personal website, you'll see three ads pop up for Midas Resources. Now, Midas Resources is owned by Ted Anderson, who also owns GCN.
Right.
They, with the kind of information that Alex Jones pumps into his crowd, you want to buy gold because, you know, the fiat currency is, you know, the paper fiat currency is going to collapse and you need to buy gold. So there, and here's their other product that they sell. So, but if you,
okay,
if you hover over the
link. Hannity link in the chat room, the people in the chat room, and real quickly, I want to say that we've switched over to a chat and go chat room. If you're not seeing, if you're a Blog Talk listener, Blog Talk Radio listener of our show, the chat room will not be there like normal. We had extensive problems with it last week, and I think it's sabotage because I'm a paranoid panda. So what we did is we went ahead and started up a chat and go chat room, which is on the blogtalkradio.com/mysticpolitics homepage. And in there, we have just dropped a www.hannity.com link into the chat room so we can try to find what Eric is talking about. Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, there's three different spots that you'll see it in. You'll see it in the right, and then sort of like the middle right, and then every once in a while in the top left, there'll be a scroll down one that'll pop up. If you sit there and refresh the page, you can get all three of them to come up at the same time. Usually two will pop up. But if you hover over the link, you'll see that it goes through Clear Channel.
I see
and
that.
And then when you click on the link, it redirects through Clear Channel to gcnlive.com.
Yeah, dart.clearchannel.com/event. Okay. Yeah, that is very interesting. Now, where does Clear Channel play in on this? I know I've had mixed feelings about Clear Channel for a number of years just because I don't trust anybody that's consolidating that many types of anything into its, you know, into its profile. So the fact that Clear Channel has been going through and consolidating all the different independent radio stations, FM broadcasters, and things like that into its profile is kind of alarming because that leads me to believe that they're really trying to consolidate and kind of censor the radio. And I think it's very interesting
Absolutely.
That now they're promoting Alex Jones, who's supposed to be alternative media.
Well, hey, guys, I want to cut in real quick. Remember my comment last week? When I'm like, didn't Mitt Romney buy Clear Channel? Yeah, he did. He bought it at the end of 07.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did. His firm bought it, Bain Capital. With,
are they in
I'm
media?
Right Lee Partners.
So they're like in media or?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know who Bain Capital is. It sounds like an investment shell corporation or whatnot. But, you know, what Mitt Romney is a wealthy individual.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I didn't realize he was quite that wealthy. That's big.
I mean,
Clear Channel that must have cost quite a bit.
Oh yeah, well, we got a caller. Are you ready to take a caller already, guys?
Sure. Is that a real call?
Sure. Yeah. All right.
Okay, go for it.
Hello, caller. Hello. Please say your name. Going once, going twice. Okay, forget about it.
Yeah, the number came across as 111111111. That's kind of an anomaly there. It's very interesting.
It could be a push to talk.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That usually hasn't worked ever since I've been on Blog Talk. So, hey, call in with the real phone if you want to call back.
Yeah, jerky. You're derailing our show. All right, so I'm looking Clear Channel. I see a bunch of articles in regards to him.
Well, I'm going to post
not,
them,
not going through, okay. Something that confirms that Mitt Romney had bought it, because that's very interesting, because that goes into William Cooper, the Godmakers, and the rise of the Mormons and the power structure in America, and which I think is very interesting, because the Mormons were started by John Smith, a Freemason. And I know Nick has a little bit of information about that we might be able to get into later. But now, as far as what do you think, Eric, about in regards to Alex Jones being put into now that, you know, Rush Limbaugh is part of the Council for National Policy, which I learned on Josh Raves the Secret Right, and he's going to be on here next week, so we can get a little bit more about that, about Limbaugh being just controlled opposition for years. We can get a little bit into maybe Alex Jones becoming more of a mainline figure now. And I have heard, I don't know if it went through, that he might be on satellite radio now. And I don't listen to Jones a whole lot, so I don't know if that actually fleshed itself out. Do you know anything about that, Eric?
Yes, I believe it was he's trying to get on XM.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he did get on XM. I don't know if it was a pilot or whatever, but he was filling in for a few hours or something like that, and it testing the waters to see if he was going to have a permanent thing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him saying something about it when he was plugging his new money bomb.
Yeah, his new money bomb. Yeah, for the same, you know, reprinting the same verbiage that he had released last year. And for a studio, which never manifested itself, I've seen that, you know, he got a couple new monitors and a couple bells and whistles, but the studio itself didn't really do anything. Where were we with that? Sorry, I just blanked out. Hi, Mod Justice. I see you in the chat and go chat room. Mod Justice will also be on our show in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, Mod Justice will be on, and she will be most likely discussing EMP weaponry and things of that nature, super psyops, and a bunch of cool stuff. And that's a pretty cool resource. So now
we got a great website, by the way.
Yeah, it's. I'm going to go ahead and drop that in the chat room for everybody. It's www.nwolibrary. And if you're ever looking for sources on a lot of the stuff we're talking about, Mod's pretty much got it covered. It's a lot of the stuff is there.
Regarding
so
the
Eric,
topic at hand, yeah. Eric's got a great blog that he's got going on MySpace. I keep up on that. It's myspace.com/Orwell's Ghost. I definitely recommend you guys going onto that blog site there. Good information.
Eric, you want to drop that in the chat for people? Okay.
Sure.
Now, as far as Eric, we want to hear all the dirt on Alex Jones, and I may not be up on a lot of it, so I think Nick might be a little bit more knowledgeable in some fields than me. He's been researching for, I don't know, 5-6 years longer than I have. I'm just kind of recently awakened. I'm doing what I can to catch up, so feel free,
Everett,
you guys.
Everett, I just started getting into research at the end of 07, so we're about even, my brother.
Awesome. No, I don't feel so bad. But, Eric, if you want to just take the rain, man, and rant on this guy Jones, just go for it, man.
All right, sure. first you had the whole Danny Bonaducci, John Connor thing. This is when I pretty much just about started to get into the truth movement myself. It was somewhere halfway through the 06 year.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so you had John Connor and meeting Danny Bonaducci. I catch on to that. And I go from there, and I check out his links to Cardinal Roger Mahoney, and then Cardinal Roger Mahoney has all these links to everybody else, right? John Connor
mm-hmm.
supposedly gets this death threat from Michael Reagan, right? That whole, have you heard about that, the death threat Michael Reagan, the radio show host, did for
Reagan's son, yeah?
Yeah. Well, he's on the board of directors for the Notre Dame High School in Sherman Oaks, California, which is in Cardinal Roger Mahoney's direct jurisdiction.
I see.
And then you have him being plugged on ABC, and then The View, and then he goes on to be plugged further by Barbara Walters when the two of them have this big public tiff when she comes out with a book saying how she slept with a black senator, and he's calling her, you know, basically a slut doing what – just about anything to sell a book, and then she fires back through her publicist or whatever. But yeah, she's, you know, ABC as well, and they're just
and
all they're doing
Trinity
is
Network.
Just plugging each other's books.
Mhm, mhm. Kind of like it's funny how these people in mainstream media, everything is just so coordinated. They must have their little beats calendared in and everything, and. You know, YouTube, which is owned by Google, which sits in on Bilderberg meetings, which has now become pretty transparent, which Alex Jones exposes. Now, his YouTube channel got deleted, probably just to hype it up and for him to flesh out the connections in between because it's already public knowledge. And it reminds me of, I believe it was, who's the little kid with the backwards hat when it comes in there? I think it might be the Info Warrior, the little kid Burmese.
Jason Burmese, yeah.
Yeah, Jason. Right. Yeah, he's a strapping little lad, that one. So
Where did he come from anyway? He came out of nowhere.
He's probably
loose
just
change.
A little...
He's loose change.
Oh,
he's part
okay.
of loose change, guys. Yeah. Yeah, I called into his very first show, actually, on GCN. I called into it and christened it for him.
Nice.
There's a little animosity.
I was asking him about Alex Jones and why he doesn't talk about Jews and Jesuits. I didn't even say anything about the Jews. Jason Burmis brought that up. And he says, and then he brought up this story that Alex Jones came out with that was these secret agent, Mossad agents that met at this cemetery in New Jersey, and they were fucking talking and shit, and the person that overheard it, this anonymous source, he could speak the language, and because he was former Mossad himself or some shit like that, and he was there picking ivy. So he uses
right,
this
Eric,
as an example
we got,
of
we got
how
the
he
show all ages. We got the show all ages, so watch the curse in a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
yeah, but go ahead. So you got the so Burma's talking about the Mossad agents. The cemetery.
Yeah, so he uses this as an example of Alex exposing, you know, the Jews.
Oh, it sounds similar to the We Are Change exposing the Black Pope. Pretty similar
right.
Ridiculous method of exposing someone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did they really expose?
Exactly,
yeah,
my point.
Anything. Yeah, they didn't expose anything. And then, you know, it was just 5 minutes of just propaganda, and then they had an InfoWars graphic at the end to kind of, you know, using a little bit of meme to correlate the explosion or the exposing of the Black Pope with Alex Jones in your mind.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Now Jones is exposing the Jesuit order now. See, we've got an InfoWars logo on our video.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk real quick about a statement that Jason Burmis had made in regards to why Alex Jones doesn't bring up anything as far as the Jesuits. And his comment was, they focus on news. they focus on headlines. So basically,
exactly.
That's a back way of saying that they focus on articles which are released by AP and Reuters, which are owned, you know, by the elite and Freemason organizations or whatever, which trickles down to 20 newspapers owned by 7 Jewish businessmen across America, which the rest of the world or the rest of the newspapers in America pick their stories from and source. So basically,
well, not only that, but you have the person that's writing up these articles is always Paul Joseph Watson and his Watson twin brother over there in London.
Yeah.
And they're usually writing on stories about here in the United States. So he depends on these like foreign you know, not foreign, but still, why doesn't he have his own writers? Why doesn't he write his own articles anymore?
Yeah, Ma Lane just dropped a comment saying AP and Reuters was owned by the Rothschilds.
Yeah, I mentioned that the second show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those Rothschilds, man, they get into a lot of different stuff, man. Does anyone have any idea how much the Rothschilds are worth? Like what their net worth is. I mean, I know it's nowhere near public. But
nowhere near public.
Yeah, I would assume that they have a controlling interest in, you know, 90% of the World Bank, I would assume that the net worth of the world would be roughly, you know, if you just look at what you get for having a controlling interest, I would bet they would, you know, their wealth drops with the money system. I would assume. I mean, I know they're the keepers of the Vatican Trust and all that, and
well, according to a caller into Josh Reeves' show one time, that video is on YouTube. I forgot the talk show radio host's name. He's got his own show, I believe. He stated that all the goods that are shipped into China had the Solomon seal, the six-pointed star, imprinted on all the crates, which led him to believe that Rothschild owned goods going into China. And we know that England's controlled China for centuries.
Yeah, which
ever since the Opium Wars.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then England being owned by the Vatican in the Treaty of 1213, and then the Rothschilds, you know, and then the Jesuits being on top of the Vatican. Now I've seen it's funny how some people. I saw someone make a comment talking about, well, I would put the power of the Jesuits slightly under that of New York. And this was someone who, let's just say, I don't know, it's just someone who was a producer, let's say, of other talk, kind of alternative media talk shows. And you see him make a statement saying the state of New York has more power than the Jesuits. It's just kind of amazing. People don't understand the power that this organization has and how they've infiltrated politics. I mean, all you need to do is look at the Bavarian Illuminati Constitution and see, you know, just see what their plan was, and just to infiltrate politics, infiltrate religions, and infiltrate any group that would oppose them. Yeah, universities. Yeah. It's just kind of amazing. People just don't realize. It's like the Vatican is in the thick of everything. And then, you know, they're open. They're kind of welcome, open-armed into everything. You know, it makes me think of, you know, missionaries going over Africa and giving poor little African kids vaccines of formaldehyde and mercury and whatever the hell else kind of bioengineered weapon was in that, you know, and just and AIDS and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and how they – I forget – does anybody know what that drug was? I believe it was a drug for hemophiliacs, that which was tainted with AIDS. And it got.
Oh, that was Bayer's.
That was Bayer's company. Yeah, product.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and I believe Bill and Linda Gates have stock in that, and it's part of the little umbrella of their net worth now. It's kind of funny, man. You follow the ladder up, and you see the same figures over and over again. And me and Nick had briefly discussed about Bill Gates and how I think that guy's a Knight Templar. You know, I mean, it's just when you look at Ted Turner and Bill Gates and anyone making a contribution over $1 billion, that seems to me that they're doing a show, that they're giving away a majority of their wealth for benevolent resources. And I'd like to
see
I
know he comes from a wealthy family. He's not just like some hippie like everybody portrays him to be, like some rags to riches type story. He came from a pretty well off family. No, Bill Gates.
Oh really? Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, do you have any more info about that, as far as what the family did?
No, I haven't really looked so much into Bill Gates
but I do
remember that.
I'm questionable. I'm kind of an alien conspiracy theorist guy, so I'm very curious about all these guys who, I don't believe as far as Apple and, you know, I don't believe these programs like Windows and Apple and IBM. You know, I don't think these companies just came from nowhere. I think they're government co-opted, and I think the technology came from somewhere else, and that's just my personal stamp on it. And Freeman Fly throws in a good point. He's like, well, you know, how come like 95% of the stuff that computers are made out of are subterranean minerals and resources? You know, kind of leading into the Aboriginal Dogon tribe kind of underground gray theory. Kind of get into the, but let me not get offhand or get out of subject here. So we were talking about Burmese and GCN and how Alex Jones really doesn't expose anything that hasn't already been exposed by the elite. So in a way,
he reports on mainstream media stuff, and it's like when he uses an example of him talking about the Vatican, he always brings up that he talked about how Tony Blair converted to Catholicism to become the new EU head. Well, it's like, that's mainstream media news, buddy. I mean, why you got to bring that up every time you talk about the Vatican as if it's proof? He's done it like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He can't talk about the Vatican without bringing that one thing up. And that's about all he ever offers.
Well, what does GCN stand for? Isn't it the Genesis Communication Network?
Genesis, yes. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's just kind of funny, you know. Are they overtly Christian, or is it just in name only?
Oh yeah, they're pretty overtly Christian.
Mm. All right.
And Ted Anderson said that one of his main goals for GCN from the start was to make it a mainstream type conglomerate.
Huh. That's very interesting. So I don't see you don't see Alex Jones going anywhere per se. Do you think he'll simulcast on GCN and then XM radio as well?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if it's going to be an everyday thing on XM or if he plans on doing that on the weekends or something. I'm not sure what he's planning on doing there. But I know he's done it already. He's done at least one show already. And depending on how well that did, I guess he was possibly going to have others.
All right, we're going to take a break, guys. We got a caller that we're going to take after the break. Did you want to pick a song, Everett?
Go for it.
Okay. All right, guys, we're going to take a short break here. We'll be back very shortly.
Hello?
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mystic Politics. We've got Orwell's Ghost as a guest tonight. We were getting into Alex Jones, a little bit about the Jesuit Order. We do have a caller. We're going to take this call real quick. They've been on hold for quite a long time.
You got that, Nick?
Hello, caller.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Yeah, one of the things that always came to mind when I learned more about esoteric politics and just recently I watched the movie Eye of the Phoenix. I'm sure you've seen
okay.
it.
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you haven't seen Eye of the Phoenix? Wow.
No.
This is the movie about the history of the symbolism of the dollar bill.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is like a two-hour documentary. You haven't seen it. It was a guest on Alex Jones not too long ago, but it's very interesting. One of the things that never comes up, though, is the relationship of the same Star of Judah that is also found in the Rastafarian religion, and how in their religion you have the circle and a very religious society around this pagan star on their flag, which is political in their international congress, you know.
Yeah.
And that when you learn the Eye of Phoenix, that's the difference between the Masonic Star of Judah or six-pointed star, so to speak, and the true Jewish religious six-pointed star. If you see it with a perfect circle around it, it has a different meaning to the Illuminati, basically.
I heard the
they're about combining. Good.
Yeah, I heard the Rastafarian connection to that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, and the other thing is they don't really ever bring up the Far Eastern philosophy, how the five-pointed star is the star of the five elemental theory of how the universe is created. And how energies exist, you know, it boils down to yin and yang in the end, like good and evil. But they don't relate that in those movies. It always seems very centered on Islam, you know, the Catholic Vatican, and the Jewish, religion and Zionism.
Right. Yeah. Zionism is just an ideology, just like any other kind of ism, though, for the most part. But now, I understood that the five-pointed star was a representation of the star, the Sirius star system. Is that something you've heard also?
Oh, actually, if you look up the word in Wikipedia, for example, perfect example right here, look up Lucifer. The word Lucifer is actually the five-pointed star, also known as the light of the morning, and which is actually Venus, though, and isn't the star Sirius. See, star Sirius is the true morning star in religious societies of the Rastafarian religion, you know.
I see. And it's also the dog star.
The dog star. But that's different than the sun's, how the sun is the relationship to Ra and Jesus.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there is a definite.
I missed out on the connection. Bill Cooper had brought it up real quick. I thought it was very clever. He ended up one of his broadcasts like that. He's like, and a lot of you people probably even missed the connection that the star, the light of the morning might be the sun itself. That might be the morning stars, our sun. You know,
right.
It probably works into another, what I found a lot of with the mysticism and a lot of the pagan worship is they try to add as many different gods to one idol as they can.
Okay.
They try to, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because
to bring
sure
them into their religion.
Right, yeah, and that way, you know, it's they make, an idol just worship many gods from it, just kind of like the Molech Minerva combo over at Bohemian Grove, and that's kind of misinfo. If Alex Jones had spent like 10 seconds reviewing it or even looking at the thing, being he was there, he would have seen it. It looks more like an owl than
he says it's an owl, but in his video he says that Moloch is commonly depicted as an owl or bull, and he says owl first, like it's shown that more, but all the pictures that he shows, it's always depicted as a bull.
Jason
and
Berman
completely
also
leaves out the
up,
patron saint, St. John Nepomuk, which is
so,
Jesuit. It's a Jesuit-fabricated saint, by the way.
Would anyone here guess that the whole history of this criminal shadow government and religion, and it kind of gives itself validity in the sense that, you know, if there's a true Luciferian religion that's running the world, well, then there has to be a true you know, God religion running the world, of, you know, of a church that I should belong to, of people that we should congregate with and talk about light and truth. But even in cultures like, even the, you know, the most peaceful cultures, like, I don't want to throw out, like, Buddhism. I think it makes a lot more sense to me in the sense that it's not about idolizing any of the gods, but recognizing the true value of all of them.
It's not so much. I think I find Buddhism to be a worship of self, and a path through a path of self-enlightenment, which is really kind of a humanist or paganist type thing. Not to say it's bad.
It is. It is. But there's more to it. It's also the act of, you know, standing up for the oppressed and doing and acting right and doing just things. Like, you know, and that's where the Shaolin temples related.
Right.
They were like visionary monasteries of peace in a theocratic system that was peaceful. Kind of like Islam tries to be, but, you know, they got a lot of radicals too, just like any religious radical group.
That's the whole thing. I find when, you know, I look into Islam, which is just totally co-opted by the Catholic Church, which Eric Phelps did not have a chance to get into.
Read the works of Alberto Rivera.
Alberto Rivera, okay.
Yeah, I saw a great thing on YouTube, but just Catholic-Islam connection. There's some fellow speaking for a couple hours. It's good.
Yeah, you know, here's the whole thing with the religions. It's all these religions, they look great on paper, and if you follow the letter of the law with them and actually do what they say, they're all great for you. But I find in every single case of any kind of organized religion that there's always corruption in there. And it seems that every single group has been infiltrated by a kind of a totalitarian socialist agenda. And they're all working behind the scenes in collusion with each other. You know, they're all colluding behind closed doors to perpetuate the great work.
And
no matter what religion you go into.
Yeah. Hence the reason why we're doing a show like this today is a message to those who, you know, are looking for a leader. Be your own leader. You know what I mean? You don't need a radio talk show host to lead you to make decisions or to, you know, gain or spoon feed you information. Do your own damn research.
You know, I found out that Haile Selassie was apparently the only person the Queen of England bowed to, like in front of the press and whatnot. But I'm not 100% sure that Haile Selassie, the emperor of Ethiopia.
Oh wow, that is very interesting. I know recently Obama was just photographed bowing to a Saudi sheik. I thought that was very interesting, and kind of the connection in between Michelle Obama's faux pas with actually physically touching the queen in a photo op. I thought that was very interesting. These Obamas, they're reaching out in the esoteric.
It's got to be intimidating if in a way if you're the, you know. This sheik, you know, all you have is like this theocratic religion. You know, they're all into oil and politics too, and opium. You know, they run their country, and to them that's got to be intimidating. Have the emperor of, you know, in their eyes, the biggest military you know, power that's about to squash them if they don't act right. You know, touching them on the shoulder politely on cameras, they have to act all, you know, all polite. You know, I think that they could do a heck of a lot better job if we weren't there, and, you know, there's pressure on them, obviously, but we have to pull out, and we have to you know, lobby. And
I don't like pulling out.
Really, there's a lot of different ways you got to just end all this foreign occupation that's draining resources, give the military a new objective. I think being at home rather than following this kind of new Obama, like,
they're not going to do that. We've officially lost control of this country 200 years ago. You know, I mean, just the fact that the central bank got established in 1913 and the federal tax in 1914, the federal unapportioned income tax. I mean, we've lost.
We got
to
have better
country.
Intelligence. So, like, in all these cases, like Pearl Harbor and the Twin Towers, you know, these you know, planes are just, you know, not kept at bay as they're supposed to, and that just messes with my mind how we can have an intelligence and a military that can't stop these kind of attacks from happening.
Well, is it that they can't stop them, or they just coordinated them?
Yeah, I
hear
you, man. I'm on your side, bro.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we got to know the truth, but we also got to realize that, you know, something's wrong. The wrong people are in charge, obviously. They need to put people that would be in charge that have higher values than being at war in the first place, which is what they're financing everything off of. In Florida, they make more money off of people being in jail than they do working at a job based off the taxes that they earn. Okay. I mean, this is ridiculous. They're getting funding for the schools through these state taxes that are put on the federal funding for the state prisons, you know, and how the private enterprise, you know, they're all taxed and everything. It's all in the books. That's where they're getting money for schools, man. And this whole system is backwards, and people need to wake up to the whole industrialization, military prison complex that they're creating and break it down piece by piece. And I think reaching out to people religiously, the more we can understand about all the world's religions and connecting them on a very spiritual level of, you know, why this is important in a spiritual sense for all humanity, that's going to be the key. And that's why what you guys are doing is really righteous, and I really support you because it's going to make great things.
Appreciate
yeah,
it. Man.
I really appreciate
much.
That. And I think that's the whole point is because, you know, me, Nick, and Josh Reeves are going to discuss this a lot, I hope, next week in regards to the co-opted patriot movement and how every kind of – any you can't look at the news for your options. Anybody you get – Ron Paul is a Pied Piper. He drawed the opposition away, and he funneled people over into one line, and that line had a dead end at the end of it. Every option they're going to give you is no good. The whole Tea Party, that's just a bunch of garbage. All these phony taxes. The only way to really wake – the only way to succeed and to stop the NWO, the great work, the one world totalitarian government, the UN, the only way to stop these people is to really educate the masses. Because if people just pull a Gandhi on them, if, you know, like the Indians did over, you know, over the whole British invasion of or occupation of India – if people just refuse to cooperate inside the system is the only way to stop them. That is the only way to stop them. Just park your cars on the freeway, refuse, and just kind of push them out of your country. That is the only way to get it done. Because they're trying to right now, they're trying to lead us into a phony, patriotic mindset, which is going to result in bloodshed. And we're not going to win it. I mean, they're proving in Iraq right now.
Yeah, oh, right.
I got a really, really freaky, scary email from someone on MySpace, and how I am someone that was I should be, you know, talked to about this, and this guy wanted my support to get people together and do a armed storm the Capitol being armed. And I'm like, what is this guy trying to do? It sounds exactly like what's being perpetuated is this armed, you know, conflict, and I'm down with that, but not the way that he's saying. You know, I'm down about defending my family, my loved ones,
right.
But they have to shoot the first bullet first. I'm not going to them.
What did William Cooper say? The person who shoots first is going to lose.
Yes.
I mean, that's what's going to go on. They cannot hide it. You know, it's going to get out. If the federal government starts doing operations against our own populace instead of governing us, you know, at our whim, which they're supposed to do. If that happens, then that will be the wake-up call. But they are so clever that will not happen. What they're doing is getting this guy Alex Jones to whip people up into a froth and then cleverly, you know, promoting gold, getting everybody off the dollar, trying to tank our own economy for us to raise up China and Russia. And then anybody who has, you know, any kind of balls is going to be lured into fighting, and they're going to lose. I mean, they're proving with Iraq right now they can occupy us. They can occupy us 100%. They have satellite-guided weaponry, UAVs, all kinds of stuff. Not only that, and through the barium and aluminum, which they're bombarding us with chemtrails, they can pick us up on radar almost. So, I mean, there's no way to hide from them. If we get lured into a fight, we're going to lose. So that's why me and Nick are here. It's to educate
you don't
people.
Think that some of the Alex Jones listeners and people call in are enough about nonviolence enough to convince you that they're about nonviolence? Because I listen to the show a lot, and I don't really hear him talking about violence. I mean, he talks about violence that the government does, but that's, to me, like a wake-up call. I don't hear about violence he's talking about militia groups and stuff. He's always been pro-peace and nonviolent. But I will tell you where he does make a contradiction to my beliefs in nonviolence. Is that he and Ron Paul and other groups, even, you know, these peace marches and whatnot, they do is they rally all the people into a centralized location, which in my eyes gives an enemy that if they, you know, real any opportunity to just launch their soft weapon attacks, you know, rubber bullets, tasers, gas, and that squashes the whole movement. What people have to do is become innovative, and I hope that we get innovative using the ability of just – fine-tuning our powers to tune in with people personally and using the internet, right? We don't have to have big rallies to make our Congress listen to us. We have our phones. We have the power of writing letters. We have the power of petitioning the government. They haven't taken from us yet. And I'd really say that's our best option. And one of the things that you know, was going around a couple of years ago was a plebiscite, a nationwide plebiscite that was a job for anybody in the whole country that wanted to stand up to have the right for freedom of religion and not let government use your taxes to fund any one religion or, you know, over another.
Okay,
or,
okay. Here's my thing with what you're saying now. Now, as far as I was looking at some of Mon Justice's comments, and I really kind of agree with her because just by – it's kind of like using meme. He tells you to stockpile up. He's telling you to crank the gold. I mean, if you listen to that old William Cooper interview where he was kind of exposing Alex Jones' kind of fear tactic, in 2000 in Y2K, Alex Jones was flying off the handle talking about Russian helicopters were blown up suitcases and –
Oh, dude, he was flying off the handle right before the Obama election, and that's when I listened to him the most, I'll tell you. I mean, he did keep the people at a level where he was trying to be convincing. I listened to the whole show, man. He's always trying to be convincing to keep the people, you know, from being violent. He always talks against people that try to act out and even call into his radio show. I've always heard him stand up for peace.
It's a passive-aggressive thing.
Yeah, what conclusions are you supposed to draw when he's
going
to tank the dollar system and he's telling you to stockpile food and selling Berkey water filters and getting people
when he talks about selling seeds, that's the thing that appeals to me. The food and all that, that's just a last-minute thing for somebody who's got the money to buy it. I mean, I feel like, you know, investing in a garden and everything is right. As far as the gold works, I'll tell you honestly, I bought some of these gold stock mines. They've been continuing to plunge since I bought them. But some that have gone up that have been of value have been environmental stocks, windmill power right here in this country, solar power right here in this country. I bought them in November when everything was tanking. And I only bought them for a little time. I had to cash them out. The ones that went bad were the gold stocks. And the thing, like, I hate to admit it, I actually sold it, but I bought some GE stock only because I thought right when Obama got in office, he was gonna warehouse GE to equip the country, but you know he let me down, man. Just like I thought he could have, because I was listening to Alex Jones and he was right. He was right. Obama was a failure, and I voted for him, man. I hate to admit it, but he's his whole direction in foreign policy blows my mind. He's got a bill in there for like $100 million to the IMF that snuck into a bill for war funding. It's exactly the opposite of what, you know, he's convincing people about.
Oh yeah.
It's just like, give me a break from the people are stuck to that paradigm. So religion's a good way to connect with them, because I had two people in the same area of my school earlier. One's a Catholic, one's a Christian, one's conservative, one's Democrat, and they both kind of agreed with each other for a second when I was convincing the conservative one that Bush was fooling her, you know, and she thought Bush is a great guy. He's a good Christian, you know, Catholic man, or whatever. I was like, no, he's not. She doesn't know that well. She's a foreigner. See, when foreigners come into this country and they have rights, then they take that same mindset as all those, you know, new fascists that are here because they feel that they have every right to live off of the capitalist system their forefathers have created that, you know, in debts third world countries like, you know, the labor in China for their sneakers. Man, and people thrive off that, and they're standing up for it, and we got to convince them in a religious way that, hey, that's not the way of God, man. You know, if you have any kind of spiritual sense, it's not about taking advantage of people. You know,
I'm all for people finding their private, you know, religious, you know, and indulging themselves spiritually, you know, but do your own research. Don't go to any church. Any kind of religion is just kind of co-opted at this point, and there's nothing really for you at any organized religion. I study a little bit of everything. You know, I don't bow to any particular altar. I don't pray to anybody, but I look into the Eastern religions. I look into Buddhism. I look into I research a lot into the life of Christ and whether he was an actual person or not. I'm very interested in those things. It doesn't affect me spiritually. You know, I believe there's neo-gluon particles or God particles inside myself. You know, I believe that. You know, I believe some of the things that a transhumanist believes. I believe that, you know, maybe not that I'm a god, but I believe my body can become greater than what it is, and maybe that through manipulation of my pineal gland or manipulation of the way my cells are arranged, that I can become a little something extra, or there's other powers to harness it. Possibly, I believe in some of that stuff. But as far as partaking, you know, worshiping the god Jabalon, or you know, kneeling in front of a Freemason altar, or even just going and taking the bread of Mithras in your mouth and drinking the wine of Circe or Dionysus at a Catholic ritual, it doesn't appeal to me too much.
Yeah.
You know, so I would really advocate that people try to find their own spirituality.
See, man, my whole thing is the religious way is kind of a way to control people from being political in the first place. In a lot of religions.
Right.
I would suggest that the Ethiopian religion is slightly a little different, but I don't know too much about them. Like, to me, it seems like they liberated their people quite a bit. You know, but I think there could be a merger of, like, good government, like Tibet. Look at them, you know. They have their government. They had peace. But here comes communist China, you know. No, you got to, you know, work with us. We're going to send our military in, you know. It's crazy. And there's peaceful politics and theocracy. Islam apparently was a lot more peaceful from what I understand before we started really invading them. And, I mean, despite the terrorism, I mean, now they're blowing each other up, you know. It's crazy.
Well, thank you for your call. What was your name again?
My name is Nico.
All right,
and I just connect with you on MySpace, so
yeah,
I got one last thing to say. Regardless
right, cool.
whatever religion people belong to, or how they like to discredit religion, I think it's important to realize the value in religion. How a religion's core is in the beliefs of love and peace and spiritual unity with people of our kind, and I think that the division of religion is the problem. And any conspiracy theory that a world religion is going to emerge that will have us worshiping Luciferianism could be a metaphor, but it's not for what we're looking for if we're looking for peace and truth. And I think that there is an exact opposite emergence of consciousness arising around the planet that is going to be a political force, and if people learn to organize a little bit better, petition a little bit better, and follow some of the suggestions of our forefathers and actually actively engage ourselves in politics, the true meaning will be that our power will be from participation in politics. We can't ignore it. Any religion won't save us from a free society. We have to create it.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome
thank you. Call. And Plato's quote, those that refuse to participate in politics will be governed by their inferiors. Take that to the bank.
Yeah, you know, I believe so, but I believe that we need to get political in our own right. For instance, when people say, you know, petition your congressmen and senators, I see them as just co-opted. You know, they're just Freemasons or Jesuits or Knight of Malta or SMLM or there's some organization, you know, and they don't have our best interests at heart. I believe what we need to do is talk about restarting all over, taking the Constitution, taking out all the legal loopholes, taking out the big C, little C citizen, because I believe in my heart that the feelings and what it meant at the time it was written behind the Constitution was great. I think when we started amending it, you know, well, we need to make it, well, women, you have to give women the ability to vote and, you know, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Make it even, you know, and, you know, don't differentiate. But people fail to realize that, number one, the Constitution was not meant for you. It was meant for the Corporation of America, which also went bankrupt 200 years ago, which no longer exists, okay? So they're talking about an organization that doesn't exist anymore, okay? That piece of paper is literally dead. Number two, it got broken in 1913 and 1914. It was through contractual clauses, which the state should have succeeded then, but they didn't. So, I mean, it got broken way back in the day. There's no reason to party to the Constitution, but if we were to take the Constitution and use it as a template to make it contractually sound for every naturalized citizen in America, then that's okay. But you're talking about zeroing out the government as it is and starting up a new one versus supporting this renegade federal government versus supporting the NSA, the CIA, which has a hand in 90% of the world drug trade. I don't want to petition these people. I do not want to be a part of their system. I want to create a new system. I want to mow the grass so the snakes will show. And that's really the only way. As far as trying to work this system to make it better, the system is broken, and we just need to, everybody needs to wake up, and everybody needs to come, and the majority need to come together and write in a new governance. A republic under God with unalienable sovereignty for all naturalized citizens, and that's about the only opportunity we have, because this government, I mean, if Congress had any pull, we, you know, half these things wouldn't have happened. But, you know, the reality is that Congress doesn't even show up 90% of the time. Things don't get voted on. Any kind of bill that could save us, it's easy. People just get paid not to show up, or they get threatened, or, you know, these people who've made a career out of kind of trying to be the federal governance, they just can't be trusted, because to be in that power, you have to be co-opted in some manner.
I love the fasci that sits behind the congressional leaders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or in the European Union, how the Pope sits behind them. I think that's very enlightening. And then I believe the Pope even himself had excluded one nation from even being a part of because he didn't feel that they were ready, or the Vatican had at one point. Another thing real quick before we go into a break, we're about to go into a break right now. Another thing real quick, talking on the fascia in the courtroom, Ma Justice had recently informed me, if you're ever in a courtroom and you see a flag that has a gold fringe around it, then you are in a martial law court, and that court is under the jurisdiction of the UCC and not the common law constitution. It's a UCC martial law court, and you'll find that if you see a flag with gold fringe around it, which is a martial law flag, there is also an eagle on the top of the flag, which I think is very, very, very interesting. And, you know, the court systems are not what we think they are. There has not been a legal, as far as the way the American Bar Association is set up, there has not been a legal judge since, I believe, the early 1800s. So,
and that's maritime law, not martial law, by the way.
Is it a maritime law flag for the gold fringe?
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to go into a break, guys. Eric, you still there? Sorry about that long call, brother.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm still here.
All right,
okay,
man. We got a lot of information to squeeze in an hour here. Let's pick a short song so we can get back to Eric here. I apologize, Eric.
All right, I got it here. We're going to listen to a little bit of Jay-Z, everybody. Be back in about 4 minutes.
Illuminati.
Jay-Z this, Jay-Z that. Jay-Z this, Jay-Z that. Jay-Z that, Jay-Z this. Get off Jay-Z
pick. Give me no money.
Y'all niggas get front page articles, y'all mention Jay-Z name. Sing on Jay-Z, and Jay-Z news. I understand what y'all trying to do. I bought the flutes this time, though. Check. Unleash the flutes on them, guru.
Caught up in the hype, cause a nigga wear goofy, it don't mean he bright.
Cause you don't understand him, it don't mean any nice. Just mean you don't understand all the bullshit that he write. Is it Uchi Wally Wally or is it one mic? Is it black girl lost for shorty owe you for ice? I've been real all my life, they confuse it with conceit. Cause I will not lose, they try to help him cheat. But I will not lose for even in defeat. There's a valuable lesson learned, so it evens up for me. When the grass is cut, the snakes will show. I gotta thank the little homie Naz for that though. Saving me the hassle and speaking the half of these assholes. And I'ma let karma catch up to Jazzo. Whoa, I'm back for you, had a chance to miss me. My mama can't save you this time, niggas, it's history. Who you know, flow vicious as me. You're so religiously, that's why they call me ho. I get the spoils cause the victim is me. Me, nigga, you're an actor. You're not who you depicted to be. The street dreaming, all y'all niggas living through me. I gave you life when niggas was forgetting you MC. I'm a legend, you should take a picture with me. Should be happy to be in my presence. I should charge you a fee, I'm big dog Glenn Rob. Listen, God, you a flea. And the little homie jungle is a garden to me. What's the problem, B? You're not as hard as me. Nigga hard as we. Nigga R-O-C, nigga. That's why they follow me. They feel my pain and my agony, nigga. I won't rest till you on one knee. You want four, this war's gon' be, nigga. Until you on one knee, you want four, then this war's gon' be, nigga. H-O-B-A, the blueprint too, baby, on the way. H-O-B-A, I got my mojo back, baby, O-B, hey. H-O-B-A, the blueprint too, baby, on the way. H-O-B-A, I got my mojo back, baby, O-B, hey.
Okay, we're back. This is Mystic Politics with Orwell's Ghost, a.k.a. Eric B. Orwell, Nick Sparrow, my co-host, and me, Everett Tucker. Now, briefly, I saw in the chat people were talking about Jay-Z, this and that. And, yeah, that song is very, very interesting to me, and that's why I played that. You know, number one, it's called The Blueprint, which I think is very interesting, kind of an Illuminati symbol in itself for the great work, you know, The Blueprint. And then it's The Blueprint 2.
And The Great Architect.
The great architect, you know, and Jay-Z is taking a lot of pictures doing the holding up the diamond over his left eye and hiding his right eye, which is another symbol. And then there's a lot of references, and then his controlled opposition being Nas, and that's Blueprint 2 is an anti-Nas song, and Nas and Jay-Z are both members of the Boule Society, presumably. Steve Coakley has a lot of great information on that. Google Steve Coakley, and he gets into a lot about the Boule Society. We hope to have him on as a guest, but I believe he's in a time slot versus ours on Revere. So yes, we're aware that Jay-Z is the biggest sellout of all time, and that he's a propagator of the great work. I just thought I think the song is interesting, so that's why we played it. And also, the track in the background is the song that, or the Cry of the Valkyries, which is, you know, a Valkyrie is a spirit that takes a warrior to the dead. I think the whole symbol, the symbolism of that song is very, very interesting. It's lost on a lot of people, so this is why we played that. So, like I said, we have Eric B. Orwell on the phone, a.k.a. Orwell's Ghost. And I believe, what's your MySpace, Eric, and your blog?
It's myspace.com/Orwell's Ghost.
Okay, and then if you want to drop those links in the chat room for people, so if they did not have a chance to sign them up earlier, and you can also find us, if he's not already, Eric will be on the top friends, I believe he is, of Mystic Politics, www.myspace.com/mysticpolitics, and we also have a new URL coming, everybody, and we're signing up for Shoutcast, so we're going to ditch Blog Talk Radio as soon as we can, and we're going to get over to Shoutcast via our own URL, which is where you'll be hearing the show from. So a lot of cool stuff coming, and we might get picked up by a couple networks. I don't want to talk too much about it because it hasn't actuated. It hasn't quantified itself yet, but it's looking like in the next couple weeks you might be finding us on another network anyways. So, with very good stuff. All right, Eric, so is there anything else you wanted to get into about Alex Jones? How do you want to start off?
Sure. We can do the Bohemian Grove thing.
Yeah, talk about Stoudemire,
about the owl. Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about the owl and how he says that it's Moloch, and if you actually look into his source for this, it was just based off of one offhand conversation he had with some old man that was at the grove, and he asked him about old godly tear or something, and he says, well, that could only mean one thing. You know, the statue was Moloch, which doesn't seem to make much sense. But you have the owl was always associated with Minerva / Athena and, you know, about a half a dozen other deities. But if you also look at the state seal on California, which is where the Bohemian Grove is, you'll have Minerva on the front of it.
Right. That is Columbia, too.
Right.
Yeah,
but then
another.
Then you have the patron saint of the Bohemian Grove, St. John Nepomuk, who also has a 20-foot statue of himself with his index finger pressed up against his lips. And Alex never mentions it. He still hasn't mentioned it in, 15, 16 years, however long it's been?
Right, exactly.
And St. John, wasn't
and
he
this
also
is a patron saint of secrets, you know, at a secret society group. I mean, why
exactly.
Never talk about it?
What was the group that he's in? Because isn't there some talk about Jesus being a member of this organization as well?
Of which organization? The Bohemian Grove?
The secret society that St. John was in, I believe it starts with an M. I had heard something about that real briefly. And then there's a couple, I think if you look at the Tex Mars, who's kind of a Jesuit coadjutor himself, if you look at him and his interview with Freeman, they had posted a couple stained glass pictures of Jesus doing the lion's paw across his chest and in kind of Templar-esque clothing, which I thought was very interesting. And there's a few Bible references to Jesus being a part of an organization. I forget it is. Well, that'll flesh itself out later. If anybody knows about that, please feel free to call in. So, yeah, very interesting as far as the Grove. Real quick about, you said Athena as well, and the owl signifies the intellect. And Athena is also in Apollo and Athena being the sign of, I believe it is, William Spearshaker or Shakespeare, and Athena was also known to carry a spear, which is a symbol for the intellect. So it kind of all goes back to the intellect people and the Luciferian secret societies, even back to the old Greek and Roman pantheon of gods.
Same with the harp and Order of the Quest. I mean, that's all about intellect as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right,
so let's get into Stoudemire and her secret group that she's a part of.
All right, I just found this out today. The White House just put out the questionnaire that they plan to submit to Stoudemire, I guess. And I put a link for it somewhere up in the chat room there. It's a PDF file. And if you go down, it's not very far down at all. It's Section 11, where it says memberships, and she has to list all professional, business, fraternal, and scholarly memberships that she's a part of. The very first one is the Belizean Grove, which she joined sometime in 2008. And the Belizean Grove is a female version of the Bohemian Grove.
Nice.
That's
good.
There's also a PDF file that I believe Huntress just posted that was in the chat room as well, and it has, I believe, most of their members on there. But,
okay, so she's going to be voted in as a Supreme Court judge. Can you talk a little bit about the other Supreme Court judges?
Sure. You have five other ones that are also Roman Catholic, five of nine that are Roman Catholic. Four are considered to be conservative Roman Catholic, and then one, Kennedy, is considered to be the liberal Roman Catholic, but he still sides with the others more often than not. He holds the title for the tiebreaker. And then the Chief Justice is Roberts, and he is said to possibly be Opus Dei. And Scalia is confirmed to be Opus Dei, and you have Alito and Thomas as well, also believed to be Opus Dei. And Scalia's father actually presided over the conversion of Clarence Thomas. Once after he got selected to be the justice, he switched over to Roman Catholicism, and that was presided over Antonin Scalia's father.
So we're going to have 6 of 9 judges that are going to be confirmed,
yes.
Vatican-controlled judges, really.
Yes. And then 2 of the other 3 are Jewish, with Ginsburg and Souter. Souter's the one that's leaving, right? It's Breyer. So you have, when she gets confirmed, you're going to have 8 of 9 justices being either Roman Catholic or Jewish. And then the only other one that's not is 89 years old. He's Protestant, and he's 89 years old, and odds are he's either going to retire during Obama's administration or hell, he could die during Obama's administration, and he could potentially put in another Roman Catholic or Jewish person, and you'd have all 9 of 9 being Roman Catholic and Jewish.
Okay, we got 45 minutes. Let's get more into either Alex Jones or the history of the Jesuit order. Points that you want to mention, you've got information in your blog that could be shared. Did you want to expose some of that information?
Okay, well, let's do the blog second. How about look at this school? Because this is one of the big problems that we're having is the Jesuit control of the universities.
I can't hear you, Eric.
This one.
Can you pull it up?
Okay. Universities are a big part of their control.
Absolutely.
The alumni.
They're the recruiting grounds.
Exactly. Well, you have one school in particular that's inside of Jesuit Georgetown called the Edmund A. Wall School of Foreign Service.
Yes.
And I just put the link in the chat room. If you look at the alumni, you'll see a lot of familiar names. Bill Clinton being one of them. And, of course, his mentor, that was the author of Tragedy and Hope, Carol Quigley, was a professor of the Edmund A. Wall School of Foreign Service.
Who helped Clinton get a Rhodes Scholarship.
Right, exactly.
Did anyone, real briefly, anyone see about a week ago, Hillary Clinton had been awarded, I forget what it is, it's some kind of secret honors at Yale, and that normally the other 10, which also got the awarded, were not publicized because it's normally secret. So it made me wonder. And then the picture in the newspaper, which they posted, was her getting hooded, and it looked like she was about to get hoodwinked, about to get blindfolded in the picture. Kind of very. Huh. I saw that. And I'm like, huh? How come no one's talking about that? And I don't have it in front of me. Otherwise, I'd talk about it. But I thought that was very interesting. Okay, so I'm clicking on this link here in regards to the Edmund A. Walsh. Is Edmund A. Walsh who was the starter of the John Birch Society?
Walsh.
Walsh, yeah. Is that's a different Walsh, though, correct?
Not Walsh, but Welsh.
Welsh, okay, excuse me.
No problem.
No, Edmund Welsh was a Jesuit priest.
Oh, I see.
And he started up this foreign service school, training pretty much all the world's elite. You have Bill Clinton, like I said, and one of his classmates was a man by the name of Prince Turki bin al-Falsul, which is a prince of Saudi Arabia. He was the head of the Saudi intelligence, and he stepped down 10 days before 9/11, even though he was just reappointed to his position. And he had held that position for like 20-some-odd years, and he stepped down 10 days before. The 9/11 victims, family members, actually tried to sue him for $1 trillion because he financed the Al-Qaeda cell in California for the 9/11 attacks. And they tried to sue him for $1 trillion, and a Georgetown graduate judge, Judge Casey, who is a blind judge, by the way, he threw the case out saying that the United States had no jurisdiction to sue a member of a royal family.
Oh, okay, because of Geneva Code sovereignty issues, huh? Or,
exactly.
That's interesting.
And he was Clinton's, he was classmates with Clinton there. And you have in the military industrial complex side, you had George Casey, who was the commander of all multinational troops in Iraq. And he was from this school. And when he was replaced by David Petraeus Petraeus. And he also, too, came from this school. And then you have George Tenet that came from this school, the director of the CIA for 9/11, and who also sold Congress on the weapons of mass destruction so we could invade Iraq, saying it was a slam dunk. You have the majority whip of the United States Senate, Dick Durbin, from there. You have, let's see, King Abdullah of Jordan from there. Another prince, Prince Felipe from Spain. If you could just go
Carl
through
Reiner,
and look into a lot of these people, it's...
Carl Reiner himself right there. He's Carl Reiner and Rob Reiner are still bigwigs in Hollywood, a.k.a.
Right.
Hollywood.
Right.
So that's
you have Alexander Haig, who we were talking about that last last week,
mm-hmm.
and James L. Jones, who's now the National Security Advisor.
That's Nancy Soderbergh. Let me see. Popping up.
Patrick F. Kennedy, the Deputy Director of National Intelligence.
Yeah, I was looking at that. Is Patrick F. Kennedy related to the Kennedy dynasty?
I'm not sure. I thought he was at first, but there's another Patrick Kennedy that he was. He's a senator, I believe, and he got into
right.
the whole DUI.
Right, and drug issues as well.
But I think it's a different Patrick F. Kennedy. So I'm not for sure if they're related or not.
I'll have to look that down. I wrote it down. I'm going to check that out myself. Prince Turki bin Faisal Al Saud, huh? Yeah, I see that right there. Former head of Saudi intelligence. Educated at this school. Very interesting.
He also has a nephew that came from this school that took over, that kind of follows in his footsteps. I can't recall his name exactly. I think it's also, it starts with Turkey, but then it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also ambassador to Malta.
The same, really. The head of Turkish intelligence was an ambassador to or Saudi intelligence was an ambassador to Malta, or his son or nephew.
His I think it was his nephew, but I think he may have too, because his nephew follows right into his footsteps. They went from, I think, ambassador to Malta to become ambassador to the UK.
Now that's amazing. Very interesting. So I'm going to go ahead and drop this link in again, and this is what we're referring to is the Wikipedia article on the Edmund A. Walsh School Foreign Service, and this is the alumni list right here. We're going to go and drop this back in for everybody. Okay,
and
anybody's listening to...
Everett, that society that you're talking about was the Order of Melchizedek that you're referring to as far as Jesus being involved with?
Melchizedek, yes. Now, is there any solid leads on Jesus actually being an initiate? I know St. John was supposedly.
I don't know.
Maybe,
there's a link in the chat room that you could take a look at later possibly. But, hey, Eric, can you talk a little bit about the new Black Pope right now and what's going on with Adolfo Nicholas?
Okay, yeah, sure. The new Black Pope. New Black Pope Adolfo Nicholas was the protege for the Black Pope that was behind the assassination of Pope John Paul I and the attempts on the Second and Ronald Reagan, Pedro Arrupe.
Right.
He was actually his personal barber. It's very, very mafia. So you have once when... what happens with Pedro Arrupe after he makes his attempt on Pope John Paul II, he flees to Japan and is hiding out. Well, the Vatican learns where he's at, brings him back to the Vatican where he suffers a stroke once when his plane lands on Vatican, you know, diplomatically immune Vatican soil. It wouldn't surprise me in the least bit if Pope John Paul II himself was on that plane for the ride back. But so once when he dies, Pope John Paul II takes it upon himself to do, for the first time ever, to nominate two temporary successors for the Black Pope because Pedro Arrupe was left as a vegetable, and the only way that he could communicate was squeezing somebody's hand. So they had two temporary Black Popes, which they were not happy about at all, and Pope John Paul II would not allow them to have a Black Pope that he did not agree on. So they finally got one that he would agree on in Colvin Beck. And Hans Kovenbeck played, relatively, he played good Jesuit the entire time Pope John Paul II was alive. He walked the straight line, and immediately upon Pope John Paul II's death, Hans Kovenbeck announces that he's going to step down from being the Black Pope, which is another first.
Yes.
And his Pedro Rupe's protege comes into power.
Okay, so can you talk a little bit about that? When did that happen, and what's going on now with that today?
Well, Hans Kovenbeck stepped down. He announced it January, I believe, 2006, which was just after Pope John Paul II had died. And I have no idea what he's up to now.
Okay.
But then you have Pedro, the new Black Pope, Adolfo Nicholas, is now into power, and not too much is known about him, because like his mentor, he spent most of his time in the Far East.
Well, what was the reasoning for his trip to LA just recently?
Well, the closest guess that I can give was it had something to do with the Proposition 8. Because that was going on, they were to vote on that right after that weekend. And then you have the person that supposedly ambushed him from We Are Change LA. They noticed all the pro kind of gay stuff
okay,
that they
so
had,
when was
they had
the exact,
displayed.
When was the exact date that Adolfo Nicholas came into power as the Jesuit general?
Let's see, it was just after January 2006 they had their meeting, and I think it was just a couple months after that, so it would probably be around March.
And who's the Sovereign Grand Master of the Knights of Malta right now?
I couldn't even tell you that, actually.
Because we had Andrew Berti that died recently also, who was the Grand Master.
Right, right. I don't know who stepped in for him. But another thing that another person that people are completely overlooking, and it's a huge one, is the Holy Roman Emperor, which is completely different. The Holy Roman Empire is something completely different from the Vatican, from the Roman Empire. It's a completely different entity altogether, and it's what ties everything together. It's what brings the Zionists in and all the European royals.
You want to go
most
into
of them are
detail
Catholic.
About Eric, you want to go into detail about that and after our quick little break here?
Sure.
Sounds like that's a very deep, filled,
Mm-hmm.
Everett, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah. Yes, I've been communicating via chat and trying to engage people over there. Don't really have a chance to do that often. So, Nick, did you want to go ahead and pull a song for us?
Wow, sure. I don't know which one to get. What's Footsteps?
That's the Ron Isley Footsteps.
All right, here we go.
Oh, and wonders what might have been. Something up ahead. Hey, should I keep the same direction or go back instead? I keep hearing footsteps fading in the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Nick Sparrow and Everett Tucker, the host of Mystic Politics Radio, with our special guest, Orwell's Ghost, a.k.a. Eric B. Orwell. You can contact him via his MySpace and blog, www.myspace.com/Orwell's Ghost. So, okay, guys, what were we going to get into as we discussed right before the break?
The Holy Roman Empire.
Okay, let's get into it.
Okay, if you look into fairly recent history during the French Revolutionary War and the Napoleonic Wars, the Holy Roman Empire had been in existence pretty much ever since the Vatican has been in existence for nearly 2,000 years until Napoleon came. Now, supposedly, the Holy Roman Emperor stepped down to keep Napoleon from claiming his title. And he just disappeared. And nothing ever came of the Holy Roman Empire ever again. Now, the Holy Roman Empire is actually Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And what all Germany used to control, which is quite a lot.
Right.
And you have all the European royalty, all their lineage goes back to Germany.
Mm-hmm. And the,
you have the Rothschilds and all these Zionist members that are all German Jews. They were brought to the table. This is when the Rothschilds made their money, was during the French Revolutionary War. And it was a means to keep Napoleon from taking it.
The American Revolutionary War and the French Revolutionary War were only 10, 20 years apart. So, and Rothschilds had their hand in both of them.
Yeah, and Germany is also where the first archbishops came, you know, the anarchs or the divine rulers, the demagogues of the arch prefix. They were the first ones to claim to be archbishops, which is a bishop of a higher order or closer to God. And also William Shakespeare used a seldom used Germanic language called English, which kind of has really taken a hold lately. So it kind of, the further you look into it, it seems to be all about Sirius B and Germany. So I wonder what's really going on there.
And you got Bavaria.
It has to do with the Holy Roman Empire. You had Jordan Maxwell, when he gave his supposed last interview on Alex Jones, he brought up the Hanseatic League, which is what everybody needed to look into. It's Hanseatic.
Okay.
And, well, they have their allegiance to the Holy Roman Emperor, and they were part of the Holy Roman Empire.
And the current Windsor family, the British and English nobility, they have Germanic origins as well, and are
And so does Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and doesn't she own Exxon, or is that
Shell? Royal Dutch Shell, and they own all of the rights to our oil. Our oil, like our regular oil, but there's this other type of oil. What's it called? Shell, Shale oil.
There's a lot of that.
It's different. It's a different type of oil that supposedly we didn't have the technology to drill for. It wasn't cost effective, but now they have this new technology, and it's all in Colorado. And America owns like 2/3 of the world's oil supply, and all we're really doing is using up all the Saudi Arabian oil first, and then we'll be sitting on all this oil, but it won't be ours. It will be the Queen's.
Right, and Shell is another. That's another symbol for a Venus.
Exactly.
Yeah, very interesting. Go ahead, Eric. Now you said you mentioned the organization which Maxwell had. It was the Halcyic,
Hanseatic League.
Okay. And how does that tie into the Holy Roman Church?
The Holy Roman Empire were mostly, you didn't have to be a Catholic, but in order to, 9 out of 10, nearly all of them are. I'm pretty sure they all have to be German-born in order to be the emperor, but they're elected by the members of the Holy Roman Empire.
Eric, would you say that the Hanseatic League is similar to the EU structure?
Yes, absolutely. It's just a League of Nations that owe their allegiance to the Holy Roman Emperor. And they would be part of, like, say, another nation, but they'd be a port city. Well, the Holy Roman Emperor would protect them against their own nation if they swore allegiance to him.
Okay.
Very interesting.
So it was a collection of a bunch of sovereign members within nations.
Right. It's kind of similar how the Greek city-states all formed a union to defend its borders from the Persians and whatnot.
Right. Well, nearly all of the emperors have been Habsburgs, from the Habsburg line. And if there is still a Holy Roman Emperor in secret, which I'm sure there is, then it could very well be a man by the name of Otto von Habsburg.
Right. Bill Cooper mentioned that in his Behold the Pale Horse as well. It's pretty interesting that that's conforming or correlating with his writing. Can you guys hear?
Yeah.
Okay, because
chat room. Somebody made a comment in the chat room, yeah. Sometimes our audio is very low. Blog Talk, we're very low budget over here, people. So we're currently utilizing the Blog Talk Radio switchboard, which relies on us calling in versus using mics, and it's kind of haphazard. We're upgrading here very soon within the next couple weeks. The audio is going to go through the roof. You guys are going to like it a lot. So bear with us, folks. We're all about the content here. So very cool stuff. I'm definitely – this is another show just like the Phelps show where I'm going to be listening to this one a couple times and taking notes, Eric. I'm really glad that you had called in. Now we have 18 minutes left. What can we squeeze in here, Eric? What else do you got? Maybe something from your blog?
I could do the blog thing, but they can read that one. There's the Black Pope versus the White Pope. I've got one on there. If they could read up on how Pedro Arrupe was involved with the assassination of Pope John Paul I and II, I'll be adding more to it as time goes on. But I'm just so caught up with everything else that's happening with, like, the Supreme Court justice pick and everything else. I haven't really had time to flesh it all out. But something that the caller that called in earlier at the beginning portion of the show, he was bringing up about how Alex Jones says, you know, look into what I say. You know, everything I say is true. And in the movie Obama Deception, Alex Jones says everything in here is absolutely true. Well, I'd like to point out a few things that aren't absolutely true.
Get into it.
You talked about how Tex Mars could be a Jesuit co-opted type person. Well, Webster Tarpley is as well.
Yep.
He downplays the Jesuit connections to the gunpowder plot. And if you watch the Obama Deception, if you listen very carefully, he says that the Jesuit order is not involved whatsoever. He does not say the Jesuit order by name, but he does say that it's not priests that are part of any order that has a superior general and all this stuff. So he's talking specifically about the Jesuit order without saying their name.
Right,
and then
right.
He goes on to promote that it can be called the New World Order should be called the Anglo-American World Empire, which is totally wrong. It gives the impression that America is behind this world empire when it is not. It is just a part of it's a puppet.
Pyramid. Yeah.
Exactly. So they want to call it the American World Empire, which is the Anglo-American World Empire, which is what Alex Jones says towards the end of the show, and as what he gets his listeners to believe.
Well, I couldn't watch as far as when he was in the hotel and the fire alarm went off, and that's when I stopped watching. I'm like, okay, this is just enough, ridiculous.
I have a theory that it was a huge enchilada fart, which had set off the fire alarms. I can't source that, but you know, I have my personal theories as far as all that. I really enjoyed last week's broadcast when Eric John Phelps was cracking up in regards to the whole InfoWars incident where Alex Jones was wandering around the hotel in an InfoWars shirt, you know what I mean, trying to be clandestine, and really just broadcasting, you know, he showed everybody, and then he surprised, oh, yeah, the guards knew who I was. But yeah, dude. I mean, yeah, they were notified you were going to be there. You know, yeah, everything's going to plan. You know, like what? You know, what are you talking about? Oh, and then did you have anything as far as Jim Tucker, the supposed Bilderberg watch group? I know that Josh Reeves of the Secret Right really gets into exposing a lot of the connections Jim Tucker holds. Yes, the American Free Press, who is, I believe, that is. I forget who was funded by Eric. Do you have anything to speak on about that?
Oh, about Jim Tucker? I haven't seen really anything out of Jim Tucker other than he seems to be kind of like a person that they just send like whatever they want and he'll put it out there and everybody will just believe it.
Yeah, I mean, he even admits he has an inside source at the Bilderberg, supposedly, who faxes them over a member list. So,
exactly.
I mean, you know, so. I
and
mean,
what they're going to be talking about and, you know, yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, his own expert that he has on there, Daniel Estulin, he says that, of course, that that Bilderberg was created by Joseph Rettinger, aka the Grey Pope. Now, Alex Jones omits this in his documentary completely in Endgame. But then in this Obama deception, he doesn't say it, but Webster Tarpley does it for him and says that Prince Bernhard was the founder of Bilderberg, even though I called into Alex Jones's show and let him know that he had three sources on his own website that, that said unequivocally that it was Joseph Rettinger that was behind the creation of Bilderberg and that Prince Bernhard was nothing more than a poster child. And it was Daniel Estulin was even saying this.
We have a question in the chat room saying, what about George Green?
Oh, he was part of it too,
mm-hmm.
I believe. But it was Joseph Rettinger that was the main driving force, and he was also the driving force behind the precursors of the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what they called it. It was kind of like a project, you know, for American Century or whatever, PNAC. It had its predecessor,
right?
Which
sort
was,
of like,
was
a European,
like a very similar
European
name. Yeah, something.
Okay.
Very similar names, and it was he started up a European Union, and then it became known as what we now know as the European Union.
Okay, what else can we squeeze in about Mr. Jonesy? Getting any of the tidbits from the any kind of contradictions of truth from the Obama deception for us?
Well, contradiction. I just seen in a video in 2004 where he was preaching against Clear Channel, and now he's got Clear Channel, you know, kind of promoting his stuff for him.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's the whole David Icke where he was talking about how, you know, David Icke was, you know, had a lot of good info and this and that, and then, you know, anything about the part of David Icke's spiel that he didn't enjoy were how the Windsor family might be, you know, aliens or whatever. And, you know, I understand, you know, a lot of people just don't buy into that stuff. I do myself a little bit. I don't believe per se that maybe they are alien beings in a human skin, kind of like the movie V, but I do believe that, you know, in the higher Masonic orders, they the last order was the Order of the Snake, or I forget what it is, but they are supposedly, they take a vow to, you know, allow reptilian spirits into the body. So, I believe in a little bit of 4D possession and stuff like that, and I believe that there might be some of that phenomenon going on. Now, it was funny that Alex Jones agreed up to David Icke up until that point, and the points that he didn't agree with were about the royal families and the Vatican Jesuit, you know, that type of, and the priest class. That's where it split, and then they got a turnaround where you can find it on our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/user/mysticpolitics. Which is also on the blogtalkradio.com/mysticpolitics homepage, and it's called David Icke and Alex Jones Best Buds Reptilian Flip-Flop, where Alex Jones kind of admits, well, he's drinking the Icke Kool-Aid now. And he's really, he's trying to align himself with David Icke as far as meetings and doing a show, conference, slash whatever, kind of like a trooper conference with David Icke. And I see him kind of aligning himself more with other popular figures in the alternative media, such as Tex Mars, David Icke, and a lot of people like this who he had formerly spoke against. So I really see Alex Jones is doing power plays over here, and he's just winning, and the guy is getting more and more popular. He's getting more and more of a populace. If you look at Shoutcast, you know, it's going up all the time. And I think with the new move over to XM, or even if he just simulcasts with XM, it's going to tap into a lot of people, and he's going to snag up a lot of the people who formerly listened to Rush Limbaugh. I believe myself, Rush Limbaugh is going to throw a hat into the race. He's going to have some kind of election, or either that, or they're going to try to make him a Ron Paul or a Jesse Ventura figure. But you know, Rush Limbaugh himself is DNP, so I see him being groomed for some form of politics. And I think Alex Jones is going to fill up that void nicely.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And you're mentioning Alex Jones becoming mainstream. You know, he was on cable, on a documentary on IFC channel. It's a cable channel. It's mainstream. And it's the New World Order. And it totally just made anybody who wants to research this information about the world-controlled empire to make them look kooky. It just totally destroyed any chance for mainstream people to catch a documentary that could have woke them up and got them on the research trail, and it ruined it.
Yeah, is there, Eric, do you have anything on that, on the IFC documentary? I saw it, and I just thought it was very entertaining. They did make Alex Jones just look like a complete buffoon. But
I fast-forwarded to it, actually, to tell you the truth. I saw it come out. I tried watching it when it first came out, and I just kind of started skimming through it, and I seen how much Alex Jones was in it, and I kind of just set it to the side, and I was going to watch it. I need to watch it.
He was also in a Hollywood movie, Scanner Darkly, for a short little segment also, so that's mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was, at Richard Linklater. He also did some other video for Alex Jones, too, where he's ranting in the car. Mm-hmm. And I believe he also, him and his wife, also played a small part in another one of his movies before Scanner Darkly.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, not to mention, just about every single one of Alex Jones' guests are either Jesuit Train, Knights of Malta, CNP, or JBS.
Lou Laramie, Larry Pratt. Yeah, could you have anything to tell us about Larry Pratt and his contribution into the Alex Jones Show? Because it seems he's on there a lot.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm not even for sure who that is, actually.
Gun Owners of America.
Oh.
CNP.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I haven't looked too much into that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll probably get into that next week with Josh Reeves and next week's show is with Josh Reeves, and we're going to be getting into a lot about the JBS, everything that Eric John Phelps had kind of missed out on, a lot of the funding of from the Moonies into the CNP and the Rockefellers into JBS, a lot of the shady connections, a lot of the SMLM, a lot of the Supreme or the Knights of Malta and the modern political structure. A lot of that stuff is going to be exposed, and Josh Reeves has just a plethora of information in regards to that. So we're going to be fleshing out a lot of those details next Thursday.
I wanted to add an article real quick, guys, about the Vatican today. In the National Catholic Reporter, the Pontifical Academy for Sciences ended with a strong endorsement of GMOs as a praiseworthy for improving the lives of the poor and promising improved food safety and health benefits, better food security, and enhanced environmental performance in a sustainable manner. So it's looking like the Vatican is in support of GMO crops. How about that, guys?
Yeah, that is just amazing. And I believe they said something in regards to how GMO was great for the poor class, the lower class in America. So it's like, yeah, you know.
Well, and I love the emphasis in the article, Everett, that they and above all, Africa.
Oh, yeah. What's that pesticide which they work into the Monsanto GMO seeds now?
Roundup Ready.
Roundup Ready. And Ma Justice, she's in the chat right now. Ma Justice, go ahead and post your a link to the NWO library and the archive of your show, which gets into that. People, need to listen to that. And they did a study showing that the Roundup Ready foods, they continue to produce the Roundup Ready pesticide in your lower intestines. So, you eat this food, which produces Roundup Ready pesticides, which shields the crop itself from insecticide. You don't need to spray it. Well, it continues to poison you while it's in your gut. And she alludes to the fact that aspartame might be doing that as well, which I think that's very interesting. I think that that could be why, people seem to gain weight while they're on, consuming a lot of Diet Coke. It may be that the aspartame, which is just feces from the modified E. coli, I think that might be replicating itself in your lower intestines as well, which is very, very interesting stuff.
Another quick article real quick. I got an email from a cell phone provider wanting me to get involved in this business. 5G, unlimited global cell phone plan, Berserk Mobile. It's going to be full true broadband technology to your cell phone. International unlimited calling as well as domestic. Under $100 a month, unlimited calling internationally, exclusive agreements with Google, Facebook, Twitter, Napster, and more. How about that? So everybody, wow. You guys are going to be able to talk globally with everybody, having a 5G network. And guess what? Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Napster are all connected with that. One world.
So what does that imply as far as the satellite structure necessary to put up a world 5G network, which in 5G, I mean, I've heard of the 3G with Sprint, but 5G, good Lord. So that's high bandwidth.
They're talking about being able to connect your phone to your TV, having the same 24 frames as your TV, being able to connect to 100 different TV stations to choose from. I mean, this is ridiculously crazy, guys.
Yeah, it really is. So, I mean, I wonder if these satellite, the independent satellites are working in collusion under one company to provide this service, which is very, very interesting. And, you know, this is the first, and, you know, that is very interesting. We should look into that a little bit more to see, through Googling, whatever, looking at corporation, to see who's providing the service and who is a subsidiary of this company and, you know, how it manifests itself. Because that by in itself is that's a pretty big feat.
It is.
So I wonder how they're doing that.
Yeah. Sprint's going with a 4G network pretty soon, and we've been on a 3G. Now they're going to a 5G, international calling, unlimited. You can call up to 40 countries with affiliated foreign long-distance companies, all unlimited. This is ridiculous. And it's being launched on July 15th. I looked up July 15th, some pretty interesting dates. Look on Wikipedia history of July 15th, and you'll see a lot of crazy things that occurred. The Peasants' Revolt, when someone was hung. The First Crusade, when the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was invaded. John of England expels Canterbury. A whole bunch of stuff. The Rosetta Stone was found in an Egyptian town. Napoleon Bonaparte surrenders. I mean, July 15th seems like a very occultic day for some reason.
It does. We know that NASA and all these organizations, they do stuff on very select days. So, all right, guys, well, we have about a minute left. I wanted to thank Orwell's Ghost, a.k.a. Eric B. Orwell. Thank you very much, sir, for being on the show. Is there anything you want to plug real quick?
Actually, I think you got disconnected, dude.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, we're going to go ahead and post a blog. It's MySpace, www.myspace.com/Orwell's Ghost. You can find them on our top friends. MySpace.com/mysticpolitics, and you're listening to this if you're listening to an archive. You can find us real quick by on mysticpolitics.com, mysticpolitics.podomatic, blogtalkradio.com/mysticpolitics, myspace.com/mysticpolitics, and you can find the links on our Blog Talk Radio page. So, good night, everybody. I do not think we're going to have any outro music, and Nick, I want to thank you for being on the show with me tonight. I want to thank Orwell's Ghost, and everybody have a great night.
Well, you're welcome, Everett. Good night.